Father, I want to thank you for Sabbath, for this church, and for every person who has come here today. For I know it's not by accident, Lord, but it's providential. And Lord, I don't want to let you down. So I ask for your Spirit to speak through me so your words and your thoughts can be heard. So that when we all leave, we'll be different because we heard and saw Jesus. Lighten all the burdens that may have come in this sanctuary today, Lord. And give us peace and clarity of mind to hear what you want us to learn. And keep Satan and his evil angels away so that we can respond to you the way you deserve. So use me now to be a blessing. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because it's prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it isn't the beginning that's really the most important. It's the end. Let me illustrate. On October 12, 2004, at the American League Championship Series, the New York Yankees beat the Boston Red Sox 10-7. On October 13th, the very next day, the New York Yankees beat the Boston Red Sox 3-1. On October 16, 3 days later, in the third game of the best of seven series, the New York Yankees won 19-8. And at this point, there were few doubts in anybody's mind who was going to win game number four, the final game. So the very next day on October 17th, the Boston Red Sox won 6-4. On October 18th, the Boston Red Sox won 5-4. On October 19th, the Boston Red Sox won 4-2, and now the series is tied at 3 apiece. And the very next day on the 20th, the Boston Red Sox beat the New York Yankees to become the World Series representative of the American League 10-3. And everybody had written them off when they were 0-3. You see, it's not the beginning that really matters. It's the end. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Deuteronomy the 14th. No, do the 17th chapter. Deuteronomy 17. Children, open your Bibles. I want you to follow along with me as we look at a very important topic today. I believe God's intention is to share a thought with you that I believe you probably never had before, that will really fortify in your mind what God wants us to do. Deuteronomy the 17th chapter, and we're going to read at verse 14. Okay, everybody have Deuteronomy 17? And in my Bible, above verse 14, it says, Principles Governing Kings. Here we go. When you come to the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and possess it and dwell in it, and say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me. You shall surely set a king over you whom the Lord your God chooses, one from among your brethren. You shall set as king over you. You may not set a foreigner over you who is not your brother, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. For the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Neither shall you multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he greatly multiply silver and gold for himself. Whoa. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, prophesying that in a short while, when they get to the promised land, they are going to turn around and say, give us a king like the other nations. And what he did was lay out in advance for them how they should approach this subject, even though it was against the will of God. Did you hear me? Did anybody say amen? It was against the will of God. And so let's look at that. First of all, it had to be a king from your own brother. It couldn't be a foreigner. Secondly, you must not acquire a great number of horses or make the people return to Egypt to get more of them. Thirdly, he must not take many wives or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and of gold. And obviously, the point is, if your king does that, you're all in trouble. And so, let's take a look what happened a short while later. I invite you to take your Bibles now and go to 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. And we'll see exactly why God counsels His people not to do this. Do you have 1 Kings 11? So here we've got Saul. He crashed and burned. Then we got David. And David served the Lord faithfully. And the very next king was Solomon. And here's what it says in verse 11, in chapter 11. But the king Solomon loved many foreign women as well as the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, from the nations whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn your hearts away to their God. Solomon clung to these loves, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. You know, I'm not going to read any more. You already know all this. He accumulated horses and chariots. Okay, I could keep reading. In fact, I encourage you to read 1 Kings 10, 11, 12, and 13. He accumulated horses and chariots, exactly what Moses said don't do. And then he also said don't intermarry. And he ends up with 7 wives and 300 concubines. And then it says, don't multiply gold and silver. And his yearly bullion load of gold was 666 talents of gold annually that came in bullions. And by the way, this doesn't include all the gold and silver that the nations around him gave him as gifts and so forth, plus silver and ivory and apes and monkeys, so that it says, so King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. And of course, he lost his way. And of course, the people lost their way. And of course, the good news is Solomon repented when in his old age the prophet came to him and spoke plain to him. But by then it was too late. For many of his subjects went awry because of his shenanigans. And the kingdom was split in two by Solomon's own son. 10 kingdoms or 10 tribes to the north and 2 to the south. And so, folks, I want you to know that you shouldn't be accumulating horses. I want you to know you shouldn't be intermarrying, by the way, young people in our church. But you shouldn't accumulate women either. And gold and silver. Now you're going to look at me and say, Pastor, wait a minute, I don't have that problem. Why are you bothering with this? Well, I'm getting to a really neat point that, as I said, I hope will be very gratifying to you. But let me tell you, how many of you have TV sets? Oh, you big bunch of chickens. And computers. And iPads. Listen to this. Those that watch TV are less likely to read their Bible. You will be less interested in things of God. You will be more receptive to deception instead of truth. You will eat more. You will spend more money. Now, I hope some of you are starting to get this. You will be more influenced by the world. I am not talking about the television set. All right? I'm actually talking about the internet. Because through the internet, you are amassing gold and silver. You are amassing women. You are amassing horses. Because it puts within your grasp all the worldly ideas and thinking. And late at night, men can go to their computer when their wife is asleep and they can go on and see stuff. And with the cable television, you don't even have to go to your computer. You can wait till certain times or certain stations and you can watch stuff. And you can buy stuff on the computer or the internet because you watch it and they advertise and say, oh, you really need this thing. And people buy who don't have the money to buy. Did you come here thinking you were amassing horses? Did you come here thinking you were amassing silver and gold? Did you come here thinking you're amassing women? We all are. We are being bombarded just like Solomon did. And it's going to take us out. And so it's a serious matter. You will be desensitized to sin like adultery, gossip, violence, corruption, etc. You will be less likely to respond rationally to an emergency situation. You are more likely to sin against God. You're more likely to get a divorce. You are more likely to sin and justify your actions. 30 years ago, there were 5 free channels and 4 cable channels. Today, there's over 400 channels you can choose from, and the list is growing. Percentage of the 4 to 6 years old who, when asked to choose between watching TV and spending time with their father, prefer television 54% of the time. This isn't about television. We have ready access. By the way, I'm going to come over here now. If you're a parent or a grandparent and your child's on the internet and you're not sitting there with them next to them, you're making a big mistake. And if you got a TV and don't have parental controls, or aren't sitting there with them, you're making a big mistake. Satan will make sure that they find the stuff that you were positive it wouldn't happen here. Is it possible when Moses talked to them about the king, he had any idea that he was really talking also to you and I? We have ready access. Do you want to be a terrorist? Go on the computer. You want to know how to build a dirty bomb? Go on the computer. Do you want to know how to join a gang? Go on the computer. It's not just in the big cities now. It's everywhere. And all of this stuff will take the hearts of God's people away. So the question today is this. Oh, and I forgot. I have to tell you this. The end result here is, can you see that? Is that very bright? Yeah. 1 Kings 11:9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Listen, he appeared to him twice. Two times. That's like a slap in the Lord's face. Because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. And of course, that servant was Jeroboam, and Jeroboam got 10 of the tribes. And Solomon's son Rehoboam only got 2 of the tribes. Folks, this is serious stuff. We're fighting for our lives, and in some cases, we don't even know it. And so the simple question today, what caused this disastrous demise in Solomon's life? And I'm going to read it to you. And when I do, I'm sure it's going to surprise you that you never saw it before. But before I do, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Jeremiah 36, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Jeremiah 36, and you'll soon see why it's one of my favorite. Now, I'm going to go through 20 verses here, so hang on and follow along. And children, I have pictures for every so often for you to see. And when I read the first 8 verses here, you'll understand the picture you're looking at. Are you ready? Now it came to pass in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Jeremiah, take a scroll of a book and write on it all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even to this day. By the way, look at me. 22 years and 3 months. Okay? From the days of Josiah to this day, the 4th year of Jehoiakim, 22 years and 3 months, Jeremiah had been trying to reach the people. And God says, now I want you to take a scroll and I want you to write on it. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I purpose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, and I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Yes, that's the purpose of the writings. Then Jeremiah called Barak, the son of Neri, and Barak wrote on the scroll of a book at the instruction of Jeremiah all the words that the Lord had spoken to him for 22 years. And Jeremiah commanded Barak, saying, I am confined. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. You go therefore and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the word of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. And you shall also read them in the hearing of all Judah who come from their cities. It may be that they will present their supplications before the Lord, and everyone will turn from their evil way. Hallelujah. For great is the anger and the fury of the Lord has pronounced against His people. And Barak the son of Neri did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the word of the Lord in the house of the Lord. And then Barak read from the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Gemariah the son of Shaphan the scribe in the upper court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the hearing of all the people. And when Micaiah the son of Gemariah the son of Shaphan heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he then went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and there all the princes were sitting. Elishama the scribe, Deleiah the son of Shemaiah, El Nathan the son of Achbor, Gemariah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. And then Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Barak read the book in the hearing of the people. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehadai, the son of Nathaniah, and the son of Shemaiah, and the son of Cushai, to Barak, saying, take in your hand the scroll from which you have read in the hearing of the people and come. So Barak the son of Neri took the scroll in his hand and came to them. And they said to him, sit down now and read it in our hearing. So Barak read it in their hearing. Now it happened when they had heard all the words that they looked in fear from one to another and said to Barak, we will surely tell the king all these words. And they asked Barak, saying, tell us now, how did you write all these words? And they then said, at his instruction? So Barak answered them, he proclaimed with his mouth all these words to me, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princes said to Barak, go, hide you and Jeremiah, and let no one know where you are. And then they went to the king in the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehadai to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama in the scribe's chamber, and Jehadai read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning in the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehadai had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of his servants who heard these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deleiah, and Jeremiah implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. By the way, you want to know how the Bible was written? There it is. The Holy Spirit moved upon Jeremiah to write what he had been preaching for 22 years. And notice the purpose of the Bible was to bring people to repentance. And when the word was written publicly, even the princes were so moved that they said, Barak, you and Jeremiah, go hide and don't tell us where you are, because the king's going to ask us and we don't want to turn you in. The king needs to hear the words of this book. And the king's response, tear it up and burn it. So I got a question. What caused the disastrous demise of Solomon's life? The wisest, most brilliant, richest, famous king of Israel, who almost totally lost eternity. Take a look at Deuteronomy 17, 18 and 19. Now, when I read from chapter 17, I stopped at verse 17. Now I'm going to read at verse 18 and 19. Are you ready? Do you have it? Do you see it? Also, it shall be, Moses told the people about the king, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priest and the Levite. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may not learn to fear, that he may learn to fear the Lord and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. So what caused the demise of Solomon's life? I came to the conclusion it wasn't necessarily the horses, the women, the gold, the silver. It's that he stopped reading his Bible. Did you hear that Moses said he should write out the law? And he should have him it with him always? And that he should read it every day? How are you doing? How am I doing? You know, right by my bed is my iPad. And instantaneously, I can either be on the Bible or I can be on the internet. I can roll over in the middle of the night and reach out and grab that baby, open it up and do a little couple things, and bam, there it is. This wouldn't happened to Solomon had he continued to read the law every single day. And why did we go through that great thing in Jeremiah? Because the reading in public of the law touched the hearts of the princes, where they even had guts enough to beg the king not to burn the scroll. How are you doing? Do you have a time set aside every day where no matter what, you read your Bible and you pray? You let the Word of God filter into your mind so that it will beat back the forces of this world that can be instantaneously accessed through the television, through the cable, through the iPad, through your telephone, through the computer. And my favorite book in these last days, except for Desire of Ages, is None But Those Who Fortify the Mind with the Truths of the Bible Will Stand Through the Last Great Conflict. Will you? Great Controversy, 593. Read it with me. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. And so Solomon was told by Moses, well before he knew he was king, I want you to copy the law. I want you to have it with you always. And you must read it every day. And let's look at this. All the days of his life, that he may not learn, that he may learn the fear of the Lord and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. I hope that is a new thought to you. Because frankly, I've seen the women, and I saw the horses, and I saw the gold and silver and all the rest, but I had never seen before that he said, write out the law and have it with you always and read it every single day. And so I commend to you the Bible. You do not have to be the most educated person in the world to be used by God. You don't have to be the best dressed person in the world to be used by God. You don't have to be the best looking person in the world to be used by God. You don't have to have the best credentials in the world to be used by God. You don't have to be the wealthiest person in the world to be used by God. You only have to be willing to be used, and the size or ability of that person has no bearing upon God using him. But you do have to spend time every day in your Bible and in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. I want to thank you for how graphically you have portrayed to us the battle. That we are constantly all day long being bombarded by worldly philosophy thinking, worldly culture, secularism, humanism, atheism. And the only hedge against it is that we have our Bible in whatever form that is with us always, and we read it every day. Father, make us that kind of people, please. My prayer is this morning that decisions be made throughout this congregation, starting with me. And that no matter what, we will do everything we can to force ourselves to spend time with you in the Bible and in prayer, even when it may look like we have absolutely no alternative. For then, Lord, you can protect us from all these evil influences that are affecting. Let these decisions be made. Let them be sealed in heaven. And when Satan comes to try to steal those seeds, may the angels and the Holy Spirit whisper in our ears loud and clear, don't let him take that thought. So hear us and help us, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.